this is ending the Great Commission, and I already got a couple comments throughout the 48 hours I've been here, like, what does that mean, and or is that blasphemous? And it's not. I reminded somebody, well, the Great Commission is a temporary thing. We're working towards it being finished with this age when Jesus comes back. And so, well, the end of the age means the end of the Great Commission, and so we're striving towards that. And personally, we don't see that happening necessarily in these big kind of sweeping Billy Graham style ways. Like, that's certainly part of it, but we really believe that the nations are going to be reached by the church, the local church, grassroots movements, individual hearts surrendering to sacrifice and go to the hard places of the world. And so that's what we mean by ending the Great Commission. But we're glad it got your attention and brought you here. So, yeah, and just with that, Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, this gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. And so that's what we're striving for. And so, yeah, the overview of this seminar, we started what's called the Mission Portal Small Group at Summit Beaufort Collins. It's not even a year old, and we've already seen God do tremendous things. So we just want to kind of tell what we've been doing the last several months, how that came about, and we really want to impart to you just, I don't know, something that will lead to something similar or perhaps something kind of different, but we want to inspire the other M28 churches to have some kind of mission task force, again, because we just believe that it's the local church that's going to be carrying this out. So this is going to be panel style. This first half, we're going to kind of run through a bit of information on the slides. Some of it may feel a little fast. Don't know exactly where all you guys are at with your understanding of Missions 101, and there may be terms that you're like, what does that mean? And we don't mean to just kind of fly past it, but we want to get out what God's been doing through us and then leave the second half of this seminar open to you guys to just make this a panel discussion with us. It's just a big open discussion. So ask us questions, anything from, hey, that term you skipped over, or what does an unreached people group mean, to, hey, like, I'm having this challenge with starting something like this in my church already. I have this on my heart. Help me walk through that. So wherever you land on that spectrum, this is just meant to be a good open discussion with us. We're not experts by any means. We're just walking in this, and we know that it's a good way to mobilize. Even if you're only just one step ahead, you can look to one step behind you and mobilize those following you. So your assignment would be to think of questions as we're going. Don't worry about writing the notes down on this, but write down questions that you have. We want to hear your questions. We want to talk about them open style form. Yes.
Is there anybody else on the small group besides you guys?
Yeah. There is. And you'll see their lovely faces. But yeah, if you have questions, write them down and then save them for that second half. And we're going to try and be good with our time for that. So the group name, Missions Portal, does sound a little cheesy probably. But the idea behind it was, first of all, I wanted missions in the name. I wanted our church to know that, yeah, this is a missions-based small group. Not just your kind of neighborhood small group or family small group. We have a specific focus in its missions. The portal idea, besides copying Wikipedia's idea of a central location for ideas, it was to kind of incorporate that there's a sending and receiving going on too. We are very focused on launching people to the nations, but we want to be a place that they can land to when they come back on furlough or when God leads them out of the field. And I lead the group, and I had this idea, like, I want to go myself, and I want this group to be a perpetual thing after me. And so ideally, as time goes on, there's returned workers back to Summit View, Fort Collins, and they are imparting what they know to upcoming missionaries. So that was the idea behind that. So here's our whole group. First, let me say on stage, I have Noah over there. This is Julie. This is Jacqueline. This is Adriana. And we're going to be careful because we know this is being recorded and put on the internet. We're going to try to not use last names. We're going to try to not say specific countries we've been to for security purposes. But I think you generally know who we are. Us on stage, we identify as goers, and we're going to talk about the different roles that exist within missions. It's not just the goers. There's a whole team idea behind making that happen, and this is our team. So we were at an escape room about a month or so ago. So we do have fun. We're not just all business. We live life together. We're just a regular small group with a very specific focus. So those roles that I was talking about, we have the goers. I think that's pretty self-evident. Goers are the ones that go to the nations, to the unreached people. There are biblical roles behind that called mobilizers and senders. And you may be like, I don't remember reading those names in the Bible, but there is scripture to support that there's a whole cohort in the first century church for the missionaries that went out. A lot of this terminology is taken from perspectives, if you've taken the perspectives course in world missions, so you may be familiar with it. If you're not, don't worry. But I had a pastor sit down with me, and he's like, Paul, what's the difference between a mobilizer and a sender? And I kind of laughed and was like, that's a good question I hadn't really actually thought of. These terms have kind of just come about in the missiological world. So the way that we define them, a mobilizer does kind of like the pre-sending part, the before the going. Someone who rallies, somebody who comes alongside and just says, hey, you have this fire in your heart, let me fan that into flame. Let me help you be mobilized to going. The senders, while you would think what I just described was sending, it's the ongoing sending part. Once the goers have launched, they need the constant support, not just financially. Obviously, they need that, but they need relationally, they need a ton of prayer. They need to be known, and they need to be remembered. Things will change in the sending congregation, and the senders play a very crucial ongoing role to make sure that the goers are taken care of well. Goers are pretty evident, talked about that. Welcomers, this is another term used in the perspectives kind of circle, but welcomers are the ones that stay here that are welcoming the nations, international students, refugees. We've done some of that too. Some of you, Fort Collins, is blessed with a really good welcomers ministry, an international student ministry, ISM. You've probably heard of that idea before. Maybe your church doesn't have that ministry, which is fine. A lot of times it's a good stepping stone towards having a ministry that's more about going. Of course, you have the welcomers to help welcome those that are coming here, get a taste of what the nations are like, and then make that jump yourself, going the other way. So the church needs all of these roles working together in pursuit of the nations. We definitely don't believe that missions is just some kind of niche ministry off on the side for the church. In some way, we believe every member of the church, a local church, should be engaging somehow with these roles, even if it's just praying for the nations. I didn't put prayer warriors up there, but that's the first and easiest role. A note on welcomers. You know, Aaron Ritter, he spoke this morning. He's one of our pastors in Fort Collins. 20 years ago, he walked into a seminar like this about ISM, and he started some of these ISM and is still going. And so, again, just kind of want to hope that happens in some way here today, that you guys go forward and make some kind of action steps that lead to things that go way beyond ourselves. So just a little rundown of how our group formed. This was over a year ago. I started seeing the need in our church. I kind of had some conversations. Actually, Julie was one of them. She told me she was on my old small group, and she's like, I'm not sure I'm going to stay on your group because I'm heading towards the nations. I really need something that's going to help me get there, something supportive, a group that will do that. And I knew that you had like the women you were going to meet with, but I also thought, where are you going to find that like as a group in our church? Like, I just kind of started noticing, like, I don't know, I don't know if we have something like that. Like, the pastors will certainly do their individual roles, but I just saw their needs to be something that supplemented and brought more of a group effort coming from our church. So I sought God on it. I started praying. I talked to our pastor, Aaron Ritter, and we were talking about mission boards and mission committees, and we're not a church that really does boards and committees, probably like most churches in our movement. And so I thought, well, what structure is going to facilitate that? I grew up in a bigger church as a kid that had a lot of that stuff, a lot of deep pockets and elderly people with time to really form those boards and committees. And I thought, well, our church is very much about small groups, so I guess small group ministry is probably going to be the avenue for that. So met with different pastors and ministry leaders and just brainstormed, and I made sure that there was something that could be carved out and definition given to what this group would be. I made what I called my hit list of people I identified as goers, mobilizers, senders, at least potential of all those roles. And I just kind of started talking to people. I'm like, you're on my hit list. What does that mean? And I said, well, I have this idea that's been kind of rolling around in my head, and I know your heart for the nation somewhat, even though, I don't know, I think most of you I didn't know real well at the time. But I knew missions was on their heart. So I assembled the Avengers is what I thought of it as. I even plucked people kind of off former small groups. I didn't pluck them off. I just said, hey, do you want to like leave your group and form this new group? Because this is what I have kind of envisioned, and I want you to be a part of that. So it's pretty exciting. And that's kind of how our group came about. That's our first photo of the charter members. So yeah, Noah's going to tell us about the goals of the group.
Sounds good. So yeah, my name's Noah, and right, we're trying to create this infrastructure within some of you for, you know, long-term missions, trying to create this longevity for being able to send missionaries out of some of you. But that doesn't happen by accident. So we had to come up with these goals, what we're aiming at, and more than that, we've created steps to achieve those goals. So we're going to get into the steps on these later, but here are our goals, just broadly spoken. One is, obviously, to prepare for the mission field. A lot of us want to go across seas. And yeah, we need a lot of training for that. And we want to also train the next generation with it. Next point, connect the modality, sodality. You might have heard these terms in perspectives. Modality, you can think of this as like the home-based sodality, as like the agencies or the smaller planning groups that are out from the local church. We want to connect, especially like our missionaries who are abroad, to home, but also to make sure missionaries who are going out can be paired with agencies that are going to help them thrive in the field. Next, multiply next generation disciples. This is a given. If we're going to have missions in the next 20 years, some of you, we need to be raising up disciples who are going to follow and catch that vision to go across seas. And last, I alluded to this, connect the mission field to home. We want to make sure missionaries who are out don't become secluded, but remain supported by Summit Field. So that when we have these senders, we're not just sending them out and cutting off ties, and then it dissolves and the effort becomes nothing. So these are our goals. We're going to talk about how we're tangibly trying to meet these. But before that, I'm going to discuss this major obstacle we ran into in our small group. So right after the formation of our small group, we noticed a huge impediment, which we call the diaspora problem. And this is something that we identified within our own church, but also as we've had discussion with other churches, seems to be prevalent. And it goes kind of like this, starting from the top right corner. You get this generation of envisioned Christians who are on fire for the Great Commission. We want to go across seas. We want to see the remote people reached with the gospel. Very good, very noble. But then there might not be a great amount of direction for that. And so they're left to dream on their own and likely be led by God and whatnot, or at least seek God in that. And surprise, surprise, when you have a bunch of people looking in a bunch of different directions, they all settle in a bunch of different places. So then when we send these people off, it starts to tug the leadership in all these different directions. So you're thinking of your pastors, you got, say, someone in, we'll say, Japan and China and India and South America and Europe, all these different places. There's only so many areas in which they can look. And it becomes more and more difficult to concentrate resources and also to point people. So that point four, the leadership will struggle to envision the next generation for where they can go because there's all these disparate outcomes, these all these disparate locations, which people are still getting established, but they're doing it alone. Which then, when you get the next generation of people, they are envisioned, but then they don't know where to go. And it just continues on and on. So within our own group, we identified this. We all almost largely had different passions for where we wanted to go, where we wanted to see God work across the continents. So we've had to compromise in our efforts and think about, more importantly, with whom are we going rather than to where are we going? You might have heard this question emphasized before. Where, or with whom, not to where. So our group's been restructuring, even re-envisioning, how we can create sort of intermediary steps to better establish and train up the next generation of missionaries to be able to spread abroad. This was the biggest problem that we've run into so far, but now I'm going to hand it off to Julie to discuss how we are actually prepping for the mission fields.
Yeah, so Noah kind of went over our goals, and we're going to kind of break them into smaller sections and expand on them a little bit. So I'm talking about kind of what we have done to help prepare our goers for actually going. So we didn't really have this planned out ahead of time, but it's kind of crazy. All of us, by the end of the year, will, Lord willing, have been on a short-term trip. So that has been one of the biggest things that I think has impacted a lot of us in just getting an idea of what it would look like to live overseas. So one of us went to South Asia and was a nanny for a family for 3 months in a Muslim-Hindu culture. So I got to learn a lot about what that culture looked like and what it could look like to build relationships with people there and just understanding their cultural differences. But they also got to learn a lot about just the importance of communicating your expectations with your team members and the organization that you're going with, or even just church and support system, as well as just really growing in the importance of who you go with, kind of like Noah was talking about. And I think that's kind of even shaped a lot of our discussion and just wanting to focus a little bit more on who we're going with. We also had a couple at the beginning of the year go to the Middle East. They've kind of had interest in maybe moving to that area, so it was a good experience for them to get to know some of the other missionaries in the area, see what the culture's like. And they also got the opportunity, they went with a team, so they got to practice what it looks like to build relationships with each other and go deeper, and just growing in a love for the people that live there, which we'll talk a little bit about that later, but we've also gotten to meet some internationals in Fort Collins as well from the Middle East, so it's kind of fun to have them continue to grow in their relationship skills with those types of people. And a group of us went to North Africa in March. For a lot of us, that was our first time getting to go to a Muslim country, so that was a really good experience for us to just kind of learn a little bit more about their belief systems and the way that they live their lives. We also, a lot of what we did was just going around and praying for people and places and really just kind of growing a heart for what God's doing in that area. And we also have a couple people that are hoping to go to Japan and live there. So they're planning a trip in the fall, and we'll get to meet, we've got a couple other missionaries in Japan from Summit View, so we'll get to connect with them, be an encouragement for them, and get an idea of what it could look like to live in the area. So I feel like that's kind of been one of the biggest things in just our prepping for the field, is actually getting our feet wet, kind of getting that experience. But as a small group, we've also been discussing a missions book together. We'll talk a little bit about books later on, but there's a lot of great books out there that you can choose. So we recommend just picking one. And yeah, just the conversations that you get to have based off of that are really great. A lot of the people in our group have just naturally on their own started reading missions books and stories about missionaries. So that's really just kind of flavored a lot of the conversation that we have with each other. So yeah, that's been a lot of what we end up talking about. And then, like was discussed earlier, we do have an international student ministry at Summit View already. So even though we're separate groups and we have different goals, we do partner with them a lot with some of the outreach that they're doing. And that just gives us opportunities to build relationships, practice the skills that we could be using overseas, and just getting to know people from different cultures and countries, and finding ways that we can share the gospel with them. Jacqueline's going to talk a little bit about modality and connecting orgs and church.
Yeah, so like was kind of mentioned earlier, one of our goals is connecting the modality and the sodality. Another way to kind of think about those two is the modality is the people who settle. They kind of form your home-based church usually, and then sodality are the pioneers who go out, or like the missions organizations, missions teams. So we're kind of trying to hope to connect those two, connect our church, our missionaries, and those organizations that we might go with. And then as Noah was kind of talking about earlier as well, a lot of us have been thinking about what's more important, the where we're going, the who we're going with, the who we're going to. And I feel like God has shown a lot of us just kind of to help solve that diaspora problem, to focus more on who we're going with. And part of that is who we're going with as our church, and then the other part is what organization might we want to go with that will help send us well. So we have a lot of different people in our movement who've connected with different agencies, and some of the advantages of going with an organization is they have a lot of experience that your local church probably doesn't have. They've also have different resources and skills to help you, so agencies aren't necessary to go to the field, but in a lot of ways they can be helpful in sending your missionaries while partnering with your local church to send people. So within M28, we have several different missionaries in different places. And then I kind of put up some of the organizations that they're through, just to give you some ideas. We have People Through Pioneers, which is focused on unreached people groups. Frontiers, which is focused on Muslims. ELIC, which is focused on English teaching. And then Wycliffe, which is focused on Bible translation. So each organization usually has a different kind of specialty and what they're focused in. So if you're forming a team or if you yourself are interested, there's lots of specialties that you can look into. We've experienced that it's helpful to know people who've already gone, who've already been through an organization, rather than just Googling things. Because there's so many different organizations, there's a lot of information, and it's hard to know what differences are between different organizations. So we would recommend talking to those you already know. And if you don't know anybody yet, you can come talk to us and we can help share what we do know or connect you with others in the movement who already are connected with different organizations. But yeah, there's lots of just helpful things. We recommend really just not going at it alone, but talking to people, even your pastors or whoever else before you kind of jump into all of it. But with that, Adriana's going to continue us on talking about mobilizing and sending well.
All right. I will cover the last two of our goals. The next one is multiplying next generation disciples. So if the Great Commission says, right, go and make disciples of all nations. So we also have to do that here as well as to prepare for going to the mission field. So we do that twofold. Of course, we are reaching out to those who are non-believers who have not come to Christ yet, and we hope to disciple them into faith and through that process. And also we're discipling younger Christians within the church who already know Christ to really own the Great Commission. So discipleship really is intentionally inviting others into the walk of Christ, into what you're already doing. And some ways that we do that, so specifically with outreach, it sometimes looks like down here in the left-hand corner of outreach events, right? Inviting in those from other cultures that live in your city. If there's programs already set up in your town, like in Fort Collins, there are international friend programs, things you can sign up for to get connected with international students. And then being able to communicate with them and build those bridges and be able to talk about the gospel. And then also with that, bringing in younger disciples. So on Tuesday nights, some in the church go out and share and in our Old Town area, the gospel, and then it's bringing high schoolers along, looking for people who are hungry for that next step of like, okay, what's one thing that I can help them move toward owning the Great Commission themselves? And that's part of replacing ourselves as well, right? So as we go, we want to see the next generation still have a heart for being missionaries to their city, whatever city they choose, or to the nations. And the second part, we also have some ladies on our small group that are leading a phase one or a 1040 summer experience. And so this is really about training those who are already Christians about what it looks like to do international outreach. There we go. And so it looks like praying, and they have like assignments, things they read that are missions related. And they also have a number of hours that they're working toward connecting with specific people groups and having that practice. So it's very, very, it's been very helpful. And then our last goal is connecting the missions field to home. This one has really become near and dear to my heart, especially as more conversation has come up lately. It seems like as I interact with other M28 churches or different people that I'm friends with, this keeps coming to the surface. So we want to support missionaries well. As they go, it's not just about reading their newsletter. It's not just about giving money. How can we help them stay connected, that they're known and loved, that they feel that someone's in their camp, right? And that they can come back and feel that connection too. So we've been lucky to get to experience different opportunities in this field. So the first one is a debriefing training. This one has come up recently. In this bottom right corner right here is a picture. Four of our missionaries that are local to Northern Colorado got to sit in on debriefing training. Now, when you're a missionary, everything can happen in the field, right? There's life changes, stressors, problems in the country you're located in, and all of those build up on your heart. As Pat talked about earlier, it's important to check in, be able to talk about those things so that truth can go deeper. And so this is really aimed at being able to let someone process what has happened in the field and feel known. So they get to experience that, but also some of the senders on our small group and in our sister church in Beggar's Gate are going to be trained to be debriefers so that they can also step into this role of helping missionaries stay healthy and be in the field longer. Senders U is another great organization that really talks about how do we send well, and they kind of link it to links in a chain, right? If you're sending, there's all these pieces that link together, and they build a community around missionaries so that they feel supported and known. And the last thing that we really focus on is interacting with our missionaries. Of course, many missionaries send out newsletters, but like Senders U will tell you, it's like it's great to respond to their newsletters, even if it's something small. You might not feel like I have something big to share, but that connection means a lot to someone who's in the field. And if they do something like a Zoom call, those have been so impactful for our missionaries in different countries, because they get to actually see your face, talk, you can laugh together, share stories, and pray together. And it really helps their hearts feel known too and cared for. And then next, Paul is going to wrap us up with a couple things, and then we'll move it to discussion.
Cool, thanks. This is a quick list of what we think could be good resources, practical steps, next steps. You don't have to click jot all these down. We actually have these as a handout. We'll give them to you all. And we do want to get to the Q&A because time's moving. But some websites there in the upper left, PrayerCast has a video on every country on how to be praying for them. It's pretty up to date. Joshua Project for the data nerds, if you like to know what counts officially as an unreached people group and where they are, you can get lost on that site. Perspectives.org, spend some time looking into that if you're not familiar with what Perspectives is. It's a great orienter. It's a semester-long class, so it's a pretty good commitment, but I really highly recommend anyone who wants to be a goer or a sender to really take the time, the effort, if you have that season in your life, to do so. Some books there, Let the Nations Be Glad by John Piper, is a good theological basis on the need to go to the unreached peoples. And then something that's a little lighter and more practical is God's Heart for the Nations by Jeff Lewis. And then there's tons of other books. I just put those as kind of like good general ones. There's a biography probably on about every major missionary in history. Like Jacqueline was saying, just look at mission agencies, like become familiar with who's out there and what their strengths and weaknesses are, and ask us for other resources. For practical steps, these are kind of what I did in starting the group, just prayed a lot and really making sure, like, God, I see this need, like, what can I be doing? I want to walk in faith and just dream big and give it to you. And talk to your pastors and leaders in your church to see what the need is. And maybe there's already something going, or they can really empower you to get something started. Find and rally mission-minded people you know in your circle. Take the perspectives class. Learn from actual missionaries. Like, I mean, there's certainly a lot we can learn just being here, having never gone, but it's not going to be the same talking to somebody who's really lived a good portion of their life doing this. And then network with other M28 churches here. After the seminar, we're going to talk a little bit about that. So now's our time to discuss. So let's see, I think we have till 3:45, it's already 3:36. what's going on in your hearts and minds? Like, I know we just gave you kind of a big fountain of information, but what questions do you have? What do you want to know more about? What are you dreaming? What do you want to share?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you guys talked about kind of having a focus or like motivation almost in choosing missions and to support them based on choosing location, a people group, or like who you're serving with. And it sounded like who you're serving with has kind of been something you've been building up. For that, what are some advantages of that for you guys, or some ways that it's like blessed your efforts?
Advantages of?
Kind of having a motivation, or like building up the group of people who are going, or like.
What's the advantage of a team-based approach, rather than each of you saying, this is the people group that I'm going to go to?
Sure.
I can share briefly if you'd like, Paul. So, yeah. It's interesting, it came about in a conversation with the pastors where, well, first Paul and I were talking, and we were realizing our group was, you know, sort of fracturing into all these different directions, and we were struggling to collaborate together in the short term. But then when I brought it, or talked to the pastors, so it's not a security risk, Adriana and I are looking at going to Japan. When I told the pastors that we were looking at going to Japan, they said, because we already have missionaries over there, we might need to get more involved with the church there in Japan now that you two are going. And it's because there are already missionaries there. So it allowed, and that's when all the diaspora stuff sort of clicked in my head. It was like, oh, because we're doing a concentrated effort in this place, it's allowing the leadership to catch more of the vision and be able to throw more weight into what we're doing over there. So I'd say twofold. Unity within our group has been, I think, increased as the discussions have revolved more around, hey, how can we partner together in the Great Commission? And then unity also within our church, and especially executively.
I think in terms of going with a group from the same church, when you're moving overseas, there's all kinds of stressors that are going to hit you. So if you go with people that you already have a relationship with, maybe you've worked through some conflict and stuff, it can just be a helpful thing to go in knowing how to support each other already, and just kind of knowing a little bit about who each other are and how you guys work, and how team dynamics are going to work out a little bit better. So. We haven't gone yet, so I'll update you later, but, yeah.
I think a big piece of it, too, would just be common values and common convictions. So it wouldn't be uncommon to jump in with an agency. You know, one person comes from a more Pentecostal background, one person comes from a Baptist background, one person comes from a Mennonite background, and all those can exist if they have a value to exist together. But there could just be a lot of different values that are in that team, and so you guys can share a lot of values, support each other, walk in those things together. So,
yep, sure. Does that help answer?
Yes, yeah, thanks for that answer. And I'll also add, I feel like we've all, it's not like God didn't kind of lay a place on different people's hearts. Like for Noah and Adriana, they felt like they were called to Japan, so that's why they started going that direction. The group that we're also forming to kind of go together all felt called more to Muslims. So we all kind of pursued that. So God's still kind of given us sort of a where or some other direction. So it hasn't just been, we're going together, now we have to pick a place, but God can use each of those different areas to send people. But we've just chosen to focus more on who we're going with.
I explained that. Our going to Japan was a missionary from Japan came back, one who we were hoping to join. He was sharing his experiences, and we were very moved, and we were like, I think we're called to join you. So, that's a great one. What other questions do you guys have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you differentiate a Christian living abroad versus a bivocational missionary? Like, is there a difference there? Or?
Yeah, there is a good variety of approaches you could take. There are definitely the ones that will go as doctors, nurses, engineers, especially in a lot of the Muslim countries. That's going to be your ticket in. They don't just let people in on a tourism visa, or and they want you to bring some kind of value to the country, especially in Muslim cultures, even if it's a country that they don't care legally about that socially to be accepted. Like, they don't want you just working at a gas station because that's their jobs and you're taking their jobs. If you're just kind of there, like, oh, I'm just kind of hanging out, having a good time, as long as my tourist visa lasts, they're like, cool, typical Westerner, I don't really care. It's good to say, I'm here to teach or bring a business or something that this country needs. And then all of a sudden, you're socially on the in. There are people who, like Japan, you can go on a missionary or a religious workers visa. There are a handful of countries that's allowed, and some people will see the benefit in, yep, I'm going to spend full time throughout the week just doing ministry. But I think some of those creative access countries are going to, you will have to do something. And a lot of people will tent make and so self-support, and they will have a support network of people financially supporting them. So a lot of times you just find that you have to do both. Somewhere on that spectrum of what you described, the two ends, I think it's really going to depend on what your heart is, who you're going to, and where. And your church and a sending agency are just like the really good groups that will help kind of narrow that down for you.
One other thing to add to that, if I know some couples are like, hey, I'm going to move to this country, we're just going to live life, get jobs. I think the benefit of also going with a team or an organization, right, is that support network. Most often, I think if you move to another country, you're going to be focused a lot on the foundation, especially depending on the nation, like Japan, they work crazy hours. So if we move there just as the two of us and decide, oh, we're just going to plant our flag here, we're going to end up being most focused on getting our work done and doing the normal tasks of life, whereas kind of separating those worlds a little bit, still bringing good or finding ways to interact with the culture are important. But if you're too focused on making a life there, it could get in the way of actually getting to sharing the gospel and making disciples. So it's definitely good to like consider the nation, consider yourself. Are you going to need that support network, a local church, especially when those hard things hit abroad?
Kind of curious, like this is, I guess, kind of a, you can answer however you like. But like you've been talking about like your mission portal small group. So you're coming from Summit View, which is a church with a very long history of international student ministry, sending missionaries. And then you kind of talk about, hey, we had all these people who wanted to do this anyway, so we just kind of pulled a group together. It'd be great if every church was in that same bucket, but they're not. So maybe I'm overstating that. Maybe it was a little bit more of, wow, we had to really kind of work hard to get people to see it, our vision here. But I'm curious, like, for a church where someone's like, yeah, there are some people who might be interested in a discussion, but I don't know, could we really make a missions small group? Or, like, there's really only a couple people. And the other part of that question is, like, you, again, with some of you seem very interested, like, even if we go with another agency, even if we have people going to different countries, some of you is still going to be providing at least spiritual support to the people who go out. But, like, let's say somebody's church is less equipped in some ways for that. Would you at some point recommend people try looking around locally for other churches that are interested? Because a lot of churches are doing that. They're like, this is our thing, and we send people out. But some are just probably in that same boat of... So I'm just curious if you had to think about these things at all, or if some of you just kind of been so accommodating, you're like, yeah, actually, we never have to think about that.
Are you asking, like, for the goers to find enough supporters, or, like, enough...
I'm not talking about support raising.
Okay, but, enough people like us to make...
Enough critical mass to have
mobilizers.
Yeah, I'm talking more from a mobilizing standpoint. Like, if you're a goer and you have nobody else around, obviously you're just going to have to go find somebody. I'm talking about, like, if your church is, in theory, supportive, but there's not necessarily people who are like, yeah, I'm going to jump into a mission small group. I'm going to stay
really
in my small
group. It's really just you at some of you.
Or, like, three of you or something like that. Or some of you is like, yeah, we support you, but we don't really have a whole big vision for this, or we have no experience with this.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you are now the missions board, because you're the ones who spoke up.
Sure.
Which is how a lot of churches do that.
Yeah, I do. Let's say, just because we're getting at time, there will be follow-up discussion kind of related to this. Part of our goal in talking about this isn't just to say, hey, look at us, but to connect with the other ministries across our movement and hope to see that if there's a greater missional movement across all of M28. So,
it'd be cool if there was like a retreat where people could come see if they could do that. So that's part of what we're trying to build.
So there actually is going to be a roundtable tonight to discuss these things more in depth, how we can support one another across the movement. So even recently, Paul and I had a discussion with a leader out in Manhattan, Kansas, about how they want to substantiate their mission group. We talked just about this, and we're like, yeah, this might be helpful to just continue fostering this conversation. But, yeah, I would say, you know, in a way, you do have to be patient within your own local body to see these things develop. But two, also, being in a movement such as we are, you're not isolated within your own church, and there are resources to be able to equip and come alongside you, even within your church, to see this grow and fostered.
What I would quick say is, if I were in that position like you described, I would definitely go to the other M28 churches for sure and do that. But I also wouldn't be quick to give up on your local church. I'm not saying you are, but just like for me, yeah, it would take a lot more work up front than what we were kind of already given with some of you. It's my belief that, it's not just my belief, but the overarching theme of the Bible is God's glory among the nations. And if a local church does not have enough people in their body actively concerned with that, I would say that's a sin of omission, because it's just largely ignoring what the overall theme of the Bible is. It's like, it's not the American dream. It's not even only planting churches domestically. It is going to the nations. And I've been a mobilizer volunteer for a missions agency separate from this. And there's certainly the people who are just like pumped and ready to go, and it's easy to dump gas on those fires. And then there's the ones that you have to work out a lot more, like bringing conviction about and through scripture, just really painting a picture of, hey, this is where we still have to go in the world and reach these people. I don't know, like, it can take some hard conversations. It's hard to not come off legalistic, I feel like, sometimes, and really push that, but it's an urgent task, and it's, Jesus won't come back until it's done. And I think especially in America, we get comfortable thinking, nope, like, this is it, like, this is what we're here for. No, it's not, it's to end the Great Commission, right? Like, close out the age, and so God's sovereign, he'll decide when that is, but we want to be obedient. And so, again, that was the focus of this, was conferences are great at giving lots of good information, but we want to take it home. We want to act and obey, even if it's on one really important thing. And so I would just encourage you to regularly have those conversations, even if you're meeting resistance. Like, it will take time to cultivate people's hearts. They will get there. One quick story, there's a guy who's on our small group now, one of the ones that went to Saudi Arabia. and this was like over a year ago, Perspectives was coming to our city, and he had a shift job that was so irregular. I was like, you're probably not going to have time to do this class this semester. If you have a window in your life to do it, you should do it. That was about all I pitched to him. And he actually orchestrated his whole work schedule and shuffled all his weeks so that he could get in enough Mondays to take the class. And now he's, you know, wanting to go to Muslim world. And so God will do cool things like that. It definitely will take effort, patience, and there's going to be a lot of people that won't listen. But anyways, that was a long answer. We do want to invite you to this roundtable. It's today, 5:15, during the first dinner shift. So meet at the Rock. Nathan in the second row is going to kind of help lead that. So that's what we have to give, and we do want to be respectful of people's time. So we'll be here just to hang out if you want to talk to us more, but we do want to release you to go on your way. So thank you for coming, and thank you for listening and asking really good questions.